Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for taking time out to join us tonight. I know that God has a right now word, a word in due season, a word that will ultimately change our lives forever. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and open your eyes to see, make a decision to open your ears to hear, make a decision to open up your heart to receive the engrafted word of God that will ultimately change your life forever. So we're going to make our declaration in accordance to Isaiah 61. And in accordance to Isaiah 61, we're going to make our declaration and we're going to jump right into the word of God that your life will be blessed. Our lives, not just yours, our lives will be blessed as a result of it in Jesus' name. And it reads it this way. It says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to open up the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, to oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. Father in heaven, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, to you alone, we give all the glory, the honor, and praise that is due your name. Father, this is day which you have made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad. Father, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that our preaching and teaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. For that, Father, we covenant with you for miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as you see fit. Let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word upon the tablets of their hearts. Father, for that I give you glory and I give you honor and I give you praise for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen and glory to God. Well, again, my name is Apostle Milton Jones. I am the senior leader here at Ignite Depot. And welcome to a Kingdom Encounter Live, where each week our goal is to represent God in a manner that shows you who God is and what his desire is for your life. And yes, God has a desire and a plan and a purpose for your life. And you're going to find out more about that here momentarily in the name of Jesus. Now, we have been in a series. If this is your very first time, we want to welcome you. If you're returning, hey, welcome back home. And we want to let you know, we've been in a series over the last few weeks talking about Babylon is falling. And in talking about how Babylon is falling, when you're talking about Babylon, you're talking about the Babylonian system, or the world's way of doing things, and how the system, the things are done in the world, is destined to fall. In fact, that's not something I'm saying. That's what Jesus said in accordance to Matthew 24. He says that, just before his return, he says, all these things are going to be happening. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be famines and earthquake and diverse places, and all these things are going to be happening. He says, and this is just the beginning, because this world's system is destined to fail. He says, but don't be afraid. He's not saying this to scare us. He's not saying this to get us into fear, but he's always warning us and giving us a heads up, let us know these are the things that are coming. He says, but this is how you're going to prepare for it. This is what you need to be prepared for. And he also says, and there's going to be signs. That word signs there means there's going to be indicators. And one of the chief signs or indicators of the end times is the fact that he says in Matthew 24:4, that deception will run rampant. He says there will be deception on every side. And if you missed last week, we talked about how delusion produces confusion. And, sometimes when people hear that, they're a little hesitant. What do you mean delusion? And that word delusion simply means it's an act of deluding. It's deception, or it's a misleading of the mind. It's a false representation. And he showed us here in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, what delusion would look like. He says it looks like it. And according to Matthew 5 and 20, he says it looks like where you said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, and who put darkness for light and light for darkness. He says, for those who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. He says, for those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent and shrewd in their own sight. He says, woe to those who are mighty heroes at drinking wine and men of strength in mixing alcoholic drinks. But he goes on to say, he says, who justify and acquit the guilty for a bribe, but they take away the rights of the innocent and righteous from them. He says, what are they doing? They are misleading the minds of people. They are presenting a false representation of what is true. What is, does it, delusion all come down to? It is an act of deception. Why he's trying to delude? Why is the adversary using deception? Why is he using misleading? He wants to mislead your mind and give a false representation of what is truth, because ultimately his goal is to bring about confusion. Now, confusion simply means this: it's disorder. There's an irregularity. There's a blending or confounding of ideas. So, you got so many people saying so many different things. Who's telling the truth? And you're so busy trying to find out who's telling the truth that you never come into the true knowledge of truth. And as a result of it, you spend your years and your days and your months and your weeks and your hours trying to figure out what is truth. And then they'll come back and say, there is no absolute truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, there is an absolute truth. And it says that in accordance to John chapter 17:17, Jesus says this to the Father, sanctify or set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. The word of God is the truth. And that's how we as followers of Jesus are supposed to live our lives and prepare for this end time, because every decision that we make, everything that we do, everything that we say should be based off of the word of God. What does the word of God say about it? And see, what the adversary is using is so many distractions. And what does distraction do? Distraction causes confusion from a multiplicity of objects. And what are they doing? They're crowding your mind and calling your attention to so many different ways you can't even focus. In fact, if you get on Facebook, or you get on TikTok, or you get on, Instagram, or you get on YouTube, what is it? Or heck, you ain't even got to go, just turn the TV on, and it's trying to pull your attention in so many different directions that you find it hard to focus on anything consistently. And when you find it hard to focus on anything consistently, what's going to happen? You're going to receive a lot of misleading information. You're going to have a lot of false representation. You're going to end up with a whole lot of confusion, because see, the thing about it is, the longer you stay confused, the longer he keeps you from finding out what the truth of the matter is. And see, in accordance to Proverbs chapter 14:12, it says this, reading out of the Amplified, it says, there are ways that seem right to a man or a woman. He says, but it appears like it appears right. It even appears like it's straightforward before them. Man, this is exactly the right way to go. But the word of God says, but at the end of it all, when it's all said and done, if you've only followed the ways that seem right in your right and straight before you, but you don't balance it by what does the word of God say about that situation and circumstance, you will become like the people in Isaiah 5:20 who were wise in their own eyes. They became prudent in their own sights. They thought what they was doing was right, when all the time it says it was wrong. And what happened when it seems to be right, but it doesn't not right according to the word of God? It ends in a way of death, or it ends in a way of destruction, or it ends up in chaos. And what most people do in that situation, they begin, even followers of Jesus will say, why God, why did you let this situation happen? When God says, I never intended for that situation to happen. I showed you in my word which way to go, and you did what was right in your own eyes. You follow what was right in your own ways. And God is saying this, and he said this in Jeremiah chapter 3:14. And this is what he's saying to everyone who's in the body of Christ and even those who are outside of the body of Christ. What did he say to the children of Israel when they got out of his way, when they got off and they started following ways that seemed right to them? And he knew that it was going to end up in a way of destruction and chaos and death. What did he say? He says, return home to me. Come back to me. Well, you say God is saying, when I'm off, when I'm doing things I'm not supposed to do, what's his response? Come to me. He doesn't say run from me. God says run to me. He says return to me. I'm reading out a New Living Translation. Return home, you wayward children, says the Lord. He says, for I am your master. He says, I will bring you back to the land. He says, one from this town and one, and two from that family. He says, from wherever you are scattered. He's saying, wherever you are today, no matter what your situation and circumstance is going on in your life, God is saying, return home to me. Return back to me. He says, come back to me. That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to be in right relationship with God. The thing, all you're saying is, Lord, I make a decision. I'm going to repent and I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to change my thoughts. I'm going to change my feelings. I'm going to change my decisions and I'm going to change my actions and I'm going to return back home to you. And God says, and now that you're home, he says, and what I will do so that I can make sure that you are strong, so that I can make sure that you are prepared. He says, and Jeremiah 3:15, he says, and I will give you shepherds. I will give you pastors who are after my own heart, who will guide you with knowledge and understanding. He says, I'm going to give you pastors and leaders who are after my own heart. God says, who are pursuing heart after me. I'm going to give you pastors and leaders who've made a decision to follow after me, who's made a decision to serve me with all of their hearts, who've made a decision to use my word as the final authority, who's made a decision to say, hey, you know what? I've gone my own way before, but Lord, I choose to do it your way. He says, and when you go to these pastors and when you, these pastors that I'm giving you, he says, they will guide you. They will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding of what? Knowledge and understanding of the word of God. How do you know this is what he's doing? Because Jesus, all the way in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus gave gifts to the body of Christ. It says this in Ephesians chapter 10, and going down, and it says it this way. I'm reading again out of the New Living Translation. It says, and the same one, talking about Jesus, who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what it says. He says, now these are the gifts that Christ Jesus gave to the church. What? Jesus is the one who gave gifts to the church. What gifts did he give to the church? The gifts that he gave to the church was apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teaching. What? Jesus was the one who gave those to the church? Yes, Jesus was the one who gave them to the church. Why do you need an apostle? Why do you need a prophet? Why do you need an evangelist? Why do you need a pastor and a teacher? Why? He says, because their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, which is the body of Christ. So the church is not merely a building. That is simply where we all gather at. And why are we gathering there? So that we can learn and so that we can be fed and guided with knowledge and information according to the word of God, so that you begin to grow up. You begin to mature in the things of God, in the knowledge of God, in understanding of God's word, so that you as an individual can now go to your home, go to your job, go to the marketplace, go to the government, go to entertainment, go to media, go to financial services, educational system, and even in the body of Christ to do what? To do the work of the ministry. And what is the work of the ministry? Building the church by building the body of Christ. This is what we say. This is our motto that we use around here. We will grow the church, talking about the body of Christ, by maturing the members of the church. by maturing those who are followers of Jesus Christ. That's how we will grow the church, which is the body of Christ. And he says, and how long will you do this? This will continue until we all come to such a unity in our faith, our oneness in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we may be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So what is the purpose of an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher? What's the purpose of the local church? What's our whole function? The whole goal of it all is so that we all grow up and mature in the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, grow up in knowledge and understanding so that we can begin to do the work of the ministry to build and grow and mature the church, which is the body of Christ, so that when we're going out and we're living the life before other people, they will understand that we will grow up, that we are growing up in faith and knowledge of God's Son. See, if you don't have a faith and knowledge in who the Son of God is, and one of the delusions and one of the distractions and one of the deceptions that the adversary is using is he's telling you, man, there's all kind of ways to get to heaven. There's all kind of ways to get to God. There's all kind of ways to get to Jesus. Well, Jesus said it this way. He says, in accordance to John chapter 14, he says it this way. He says, I am the way. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through or by me. You can't get to the Heavenly Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do enough good works. You can't do enough good deeds. It's not about your good outweighing your bad. Bottom line is the only way to the Father is through the Son. And Jesus says, I'm not the finish point. Most people treat Jesus like he's the finish point, but he says, I'm the starting point. He says, once you come into me, I'm the doorway to get you into another realm, which is called the kingdom of God. See, as long as you're not a follower of Jesus, as long as you have never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are operating and are subject to the kingdom of darkness, or this world's way of doing things, because that's the way you think, that's the way you feel, that's the way you respond, that's the way you act, that is the only things that you know. But when you become a follower of Jesus, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're making a decision to where you're no longer bound or held captive to this world's way of doing things, but you've actually been transferred. According to Colossians 1 and 13, you're no longer under the dominion of darkness, but now you are in the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there is redemption and there is forgiveness of sin, and you are no longer bound by that old way of doing things. But what do you have to do? You have to begin to renew your mind by the Word of God of what it means to operate according to the kingdom of God. And when Jesus, even when he's talking about in Matthew 24, and he's talking about how these wars and rumors of war and how this Babylonian system is falling apart and how the world system is breaking apart and all these things are going to happen, and people are going to betray you and people are going to afflict you and people are going to persecute you and all these things. And he says, and many people will become offended. They're going to become offended with other believers. They're even going to become offended with God to the point they will betray one another. And then what will happen? Then all these false prophets will come up. And what will they begin to do? They will begin to draw your attention away from the truth. And you will be led away to a lie. They can't make you do it. But have you ever noticed that when you get offended or upset about a situation, that you no longer remember any of the good that was in that relationship before? All you can focus on is the bad. Well, God said it this way. He says, I'm telling you all these things ahead of time so that when you hear it, so that when you see it, you already know the end, that deception is running rampant and you're getting closer to the end. And he says, but my solution to this is this. And according to Matthew chapter 24 and 14 talks about, and this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached. He says, so to counteract all this stuff, he says, I'm going to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. John the Baptist taught the kingdom of God. And from John the Baptist all the way forward, what we're teaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, change your mind, change your thinking, change your feeling, change your actions. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, a lot of people say, well, what does that have to do with you guys? What's the big deal? Well, our mandate as Ignite Depot and my mandate is as an apostle is to do just that. In fact, he showed me this in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He says, Milt, before I formed you in the womb, I already knew you. And I approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were ever born, I separated you apart and I consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nations. And he says, and what I'm doing, he says, I'm going to put forth my hand and I'm going to touch your mouth. And what God says, and my hand and I'm going to put my words in your mouth. And he says, and see this day, Milt, I have appointed you to the oversight of the nations and of the kingdoms. And he says, and this is what you're going to do. He says, you're going to root it out. You're going to pull down. You're going to destroy. You're going to overthrow. You're going to build and you're going to plant. And I'm like, Lord, what does that mean? And he says, you're going to root out, pull down, destroy and overthrow the kingdom of darkness, the Babylonian system, the world's way of doing things. He says, you're going to pull it down. You're going to destroy it. You're going to overthrow it. He says, and you're going to root it out. Root it out of what? Root it out of the lives of people. Why? Because people are going to have to learn how to if you're in a follower of Jesus, you're going to have to learn how to operate according to the kingdom of God. Why? Because when things begin to fall apart and you no longer have this system, this world's way of doing things to operate in, then what are you going to do? What's going to happen? Unfortunately, with a lot of people, they're so tied to the system that even though God is telling them, I need you to get out of that system. I need you to wean off of that system. I need you to learn the kingdom of God's ways of doing things. They're so tied to the world that they have become slaves to the world, slaves to the system, slaves to this way of doing things. And God says, I'm raising up leaders who will root out, pull down, destroy, and overthrow this Babylonian or demonic system. He says, and then what are they going to do? They're going to build and plant. What are you going to build and plant? You're going to build and plant the kingdom of God. You're going to teach people God's ways of doing things. You're going to teach people who God is and what his desires for their lives. You're going to teach people how to operate according to the kingdom of God. You're going to teach people that no matter what the economy does or doesn't do, no matter whether inflation goes up or goes down, no matter what happens, when you operate according to the kingdom of God that's not limited to this world's ways of doing things, then no matter, you know, it says in Psalms 91, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It won't come nigh you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation or your dwelling place. No evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Why? Because God has given his angel special charge over you to keep you in all of your ways, to bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And God says, and this is what I sent you there to do. And he says, and on top of that, he says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. So when God says that when you speak my word, I watch over my word to perform it. If you think about Jesus' ministry, Jesus came. Yes, he came to take away the sins of the world. Yes, he came to be a sacrifice for us. Yes, he came to go to Calvary's tree and pay the price on the cross. But he also came to pull down, root out, destroy, and overthrow the kingdom of darkness. In fact, it says that he came to destroy the works of the adversary. But he also came and he planted and built the kingdom of God. In fact, if you go back and see the ministry of Jesus, he spent his whole ministry. This is what his ministry was. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he began to teach people how the kingdom of God is there to heal the sick, how the kingdom of God is there to raise the dead, how the kingdom of God is there to supply your every need, how the kingdom of God is there to cast out demons, and how the kingdom of God is there is to cleanse the leper, or cleanse you up, or clean you up from whatever situation or circumstance that has you bound. He says, is all found in the kingdom of God, are God's governing system, are God's ways of doing things. And this is what also what he says, and why when you listen to this ministry or you listen to these podcasts, it sounds different than when you're sitting in a traditional church, whatever the case may be. Not because the word is different, because we teach the exact same word, but we teach the word from a kingdom of God standpoint, not from a religious standpoint that will can keep you bound. But we're teaching you that Jesus says, I have given you power and I have given you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. And how, you know, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. It didn't say weapons wouldn't be formed against you. He said, but when they form, it will not prosper against you. So why is that important? Because the other side of the ministry is this. He says that, you know, when we come and we bring these podcasts to you each week, you know, to help you to be able to not just to survive, but to thrive, even in seemingly tough and trying situations, because I am a forerunner. What is a forerunner? A forerunner is one who goes before. And see, just like John the Baptist was a forerunner. What did he do? He went before Jesus and he prepared the way before Jesus got there. He prepared the people before Jesus got there. And that's the same mandate that's on this ministry, is that we will operate in the spirit and power of the Holy Spirit upon us to go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, because God is with us. And what else are we doing? We are preparing people for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are turning the hearts of the fathers to their children, and we are causing those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. So for those who have made a decision, who have a hardened heart and they refuse to turn, he has sent us as his forerunners, because Jesus is coming very, very soon. And he's saying, "What you go and prepare the people for the coming of the Lord." He says, and turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and cause those who are rebellious, cause those who have been wise in their own eyes, cause those who have given into delusion, cause those who are confused, cause those who are being distracted. He says, I want you to go. And when you go, I want you to be, share my word and feed people with knowledge and understanding from my word, so that they can go out and do the work of the ministry and help them to accept the wisdom of the godly. Our church is all about teaching and training up leaders. And if you're a member of the body of Christ, you are a leader. Christ sees you as a leader. God sees you as a leader. And what are you going to do? You're going to lead others. That's part of the work of the ministry. You're going to lead others out of darkness into the marvelous light. That is our goal. That is our responsibility. See, we are teaching and training, our teaching and training center for leaders. See, it's not like the typical gathering church or shepherding church, because we were an apostolic and prophetic house. We measure our growth not by how many people sit in the seats. We measure our growth on the level of which Christ is established and grown in your life, how the kingdom of God is established and growing in your life. Remember, we're building and we're planting and we're building. We're planting the word of God. We're planting the kingdom of God to cause the kingdom of God not only to be established, but to expand north, south, east, and west throughout all, every city, province, state, region, nation, all over the world. You got to understand, you have an adversary. His name is Satan, and he is a thief. According to John chapter 10, he's a thief. And his whole goal, his whole purpose is to come and to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants to steal your identity so that he can kill your purpose with the ultimate goal of destroying your life. Now, that doesn't mean you won't live, but you won't live the God kind of life, the kind of life that Jesus said that he came to give you. He came to give you a life that is rich and satisfying, a life that is in abundance to the full until it overflows, the God kind of life. But his adversary, his whole goal in presenting delusion and confusion and distraction is to get you to miss out on the God kind of life. And even if you've never received Jesus before as your personal Lord and Savior, man, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do it right now. It's so easy. A child can do it. How do you do it? And according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says it this way. It says, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the word, with your mouth, salvation confession is made unto righteousness. Pray this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into our heart, save us now. We repent of sin and we receive your offer of forgiveness. Right now, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and glory to God. Now, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you into the body of Christ, welcome you back into right position, welcome you into the kingdom of God. Man, if you're returning back into the right relationship, praise God, man. Hey, you know what? All you got to do is make a decision to come back home. Just like we said from the very beginning, return home. And now that you're back in right relationship, what do? Man, you got to get in a word-based church to teach you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also teach you about the love of God, teach you about the kingdom of God. We know the Ignite Depot is such a place. So if you want to join us here every week at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time, man, we'd love to have you. But most importantly, if you're too far away from us, man, you want to find a local church where you can meet together with people who are like-minded believers who have a hunger for God to know God and know his desires for your life, man. If you want some help trying to find a local church, send us an email here at info@ignitedepot.com. That's info@ignitedepot.com. If you need prayer, Send your prayer request to that same email address at info@ignitedepot.com. If you want to be a blessing to the ministry, you want to give into the ministry, you want to help us get this gospel of the kingdom of God north, south, east, and west all over the world, man, sow a seed. Send it to give@ignitedepot.com. That's give@ignitedepot.com. Now, on behalf of Pastor Juwin and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us tonight, and we'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.